Just, sorry, I cannot but put on a mask to stay away from you, Christ. Last week I was supposed to be here. I couldn't. I ended up in hospital again. This is my second hospital stay. Part of the problem was the fact that they detected a cyst growing, and it was amassing a lot of fluid inside of, and it was pressing on the kidneys quite a bit. And so on Thursday, the report came back, and they said, tonight, come back, hospital, stay. It was the first fastest admission to the hospital ever. So there was Thursday morning, Thursday evening, went back to the hospital. The procedure was done on Friday, and they extracted a lot of fluid in from the inside. And they told me, whatever it is, you've got to rest for the next week. So I had to literally cancel a lot of things that were just going on in order for the body to recover for a while. And that really helped. So on Thursday, I was hoping that I can walk out of the house because I got to carry a bag with me. So they're extracting it all the time. And you know, you just cannot carry on. What do you carry? Ladies can carry handbag. My bag is not something you want to take a look at, so I couldn't get out at all. But it was an important bit of a rest, isn't it? So I asked the doctor, I said, can I come back? And so he said, okay, you can come back. But just today, the whole day back, has not been a good day, because there's too many meetings, too many hours, not enough rest. So my blood pressure right now is 170/95. So I am actually in danger right now. So I'm not going to stay on longer than I need to. I need to get back. Most likely next Saturday, if things don't go well, I will be back only when I have to speak. Otherwise, I won't be. I hope you understand. I wish I can be here with you, but I can't at this point of time because the pressure is way too high. It has been way too high since afternoon time, and it's not good. So I just need to be very careful. I got to do my part. But tomorrow I'll be here again, speak twice, and go off. And then in the afternoon, I have a medical doctor who Zooms with me in the afternoon to help me check, see where I am. And so he's an outside person who is an immunologist who helps me to track where I'm going from the NUH side. So he says every Sunday I spend a bit of time with him and then pray with him. And he's a good Christian physician, and I really, really appreciate he's taking the time and the trouble. And so he said, you know, okay, can we Zoom this again every Sunday? So I spend time with him every Sunday. Then I will show him my numbers, and he said, okay, now this is what you're looking for. And I really, really appreciate them. He's a very eminent physician out there from the Gleneagles side, and I really appreciate the time that he would ask him, you know, find out what's happening and so on and so forth. But lots of things to thank God for. So I'm going to be here as much as I can with you, for you. So I'm going to share with you how to read the Lord's Word, and that's my past, my purpose, and then open up the Lord's Word as much as possible to you. Right? So there are lots of things to think about, and I want to hopefully gather enough strength back, because if I, you see, this surgery has uncovered a lot of problems inside me. I am very, very highly iron deficient, extremely so. I'm extremely deficit in that area. You think that it only affects girls, you know, it affects women, and then they are highly deficient and things like that. I am on 200 mg iron tablet every day. So that's how deficient I am, and I can't get out of it easily. And so it's been taking a long time to recover. Unfortunately, the problem is there. So these are things to pray for. I want to share with you why I say these things, and then to ask you, so when we say we pray for me, how are you praying? And a lot of us, speedy recovery. I read that until I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. It's been 2.5 months. And it's nowhere full recovery yet. nowhere near. So I have to constantly watch all of them. Can the cysts come back? Yes. Can I end up in hospital again? Yes. Do I need to do another procedure? Yes. Those are very real things. Can I have a heart attack? Yes. See, these are my challenges today. And so I need to address them as much as I possibly can. So how do we pray? Now, this is the question that we are going to learn today. How do we pray for each other? How do we actually pray? So I'm going to share with you for Genesis 49, Deuteronomy 33, and then in one particular passage in Romans chapter 15 particularly, to help you to learn how to pray about things like that. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for what we are going to learn today. As we learn about praying for each other, teach us how to really pray for each other in the light of your word, with wisdom, with understanding. We pray for your blessings as we worship you this afternoon. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we begin.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Youth Worship. My name is Ryan.
I'm Yanning.
And it's so wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord with all of you.
We would like to also extend our special welcome for our dear pastor who will be joining us today at Youth Worship.
Last week, we learned about Moses' blessing upon the tribes of Dan and Naphtali. And one aspect that stood out to me was the faith perspective that Moses had. Although he knew that the children of Israel would one day fall away and forsake the Lord, Moses was neither discouraged nor disheartened, and instead he continued to pray for the Lord's blessings upon each and every tribe. And you know, Moses' prayer moved me deeply. He trusted that the Lord would still bless the children of Israel despite their weaknesses, and this faith that Moses had gave him a very special sense of hope. One that was firmly grounded on the Lord. Personally, I'm seeking to apply this faith in this manner too. And this lesson has challenged me to put my faith into practice as I look towards the future, especially in light of several events that I've experienced over the past few months. Recently I've observed that both my paternal and maternal grandparents have begun to succumb to the health challenges as they get older. Honestly, I'm pretty worried, and seeing the decline of their health makes me worry a lot. And there are many, many questions that flood my mind. Will their medicine or treatments work? Will they be able to cope? And you know, there are moments where I find myself getting discouraged, and thoughts of the future would just be really scary to me. Thankfully, the example of Moses was a strong reminder to my heart that I do not have to be this way because of this hope that we can have in the Lord. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and there's this very special assurance that comes with that. I know that the Lord is a good God whose plan is perfect, and He has also promised this in His word. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And you know, this is where my hope lies. I trust that the Lord will show mercy to my grandparents, and I find hope in knowing that no matter what happens, the Lord remains in control. One way that I'm seeking to express this hope is through my prayers. Instead of just pouring out my feelings and negative emotions onto the Lord, I'm seeking to exercise applying my faith by praying with a sense of trust and even joy amidst troubling circumstances. You know, for many of us, the second half of the year holds slightly more trying times. Personally, I'm seeking to echo the response of the psalmist in Psalm 42, which reads, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." You know, I always want to remember that I can hope in God because He is my help. And as each and every one of us press on and face the challenges that lay ahead of us in the coming year, let us always seek to face these challenges with faith, joy, and hope. And let's seek to find this hope for ourselves, because it can really make a big difference in our lives. The first song we'll be singing this afternoon is "Only a Holy God." Our hope in God is unlike any other earthly hope, because it is firmly grounded in the Lord. And there's truly no one like our great God, and there's truly nothing that can give us such an assurance. May I invite you to come and worship our great God this afternoon. Let's sing this song together.
Thank you for your fine singing, and a big thank you to the AV team, the pianists, and those who are supporting us at worship today. So Ryan shared about having a faith-based perspective in God and how this can generate hope in our lives. As we seek to apply faith in each of our lives, we must also remember that we are not alone. We have a community here supporting us in this journey of faith. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22, it reads, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." In verse 19, we are described as belonging to the Lord, as saints, and as members of the household of God. And in Bethany, we are so blessed to have pastors, teachers, and older ones who take time to relate to us. And they possess the wisdom and spiritual understanding that we so often lack. Similar to how Moses prayed for the tribes of Israel with such deep wisdom and love, here at Bethany, we are also privileged to have our spiritual leaders constantly praying for us and there to care for us as well. Personally, I'm thankful for pastors and teachers that allow me to share my thoughts, guide me through the scriptures, and also take time to pray for me. They provided me with godly counsel, and helped me to navigate intricacies of issues that I faced recently as well. And this reminded me that how blessed I am to belong to the household of God, and that I need not face challenges in life alone. While we are being joined together as the household of God, we are built upon a solid foundation. And this solid foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you know, the foundation of a building is important in ensuring that the building stands strong. In verse 20, it tells us that the church's foundation are the teachings of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the chief cornerstone. And now that I'm in the midst of renovation, I took a little bit more note in architecture. And you know, in architecture, a cornerstone actually represents the starting point of construction. And the cornerstone actually binds the bricks together and stabilizes the wall of the building. And this gives us a glimpse of how the Lord Jesus also binds us together as a church and strengthens us. And though each of us might only be a small stone, strength arises when we are fitted together with the Lord. And we too can fortify each other's faith as we face the challenges of life, having the Lord Jesus Christ as the basis of our life and faith. The next song that we will sing together is Kingdom Song. And this song is a reminder that we do not run this race of faith alone. We always have a community that we can fall back on and encourage each other. As we stand shoulder to shoulder, may we also experience the joy, the peace, and the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring. So with that, let us take the next song together, Kingdom Song.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today we'll be reading the two prayers made for Asher. Jacob's prayer for his son Asher is recorded in Genesis 49, verse 20, and Moses' prayer for the tribe of Asher is recorded in Deuteronomy 33, verses 24 to 27. We'll now be reading from Genesis 49, verse 20. Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties.
We will now be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 24. And of Asher he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and will say, destroy.
First of all, I'd like to thank each one for your part in this service. We also want to thank God for bringing back Pastor to us. And may the Lord continue to grant him grace and strength even as he ministers to us this afternoon. Now this afternoon, I would like to pray for us that we may always be faithful to the Lord. You know, even though God loved and blessed his people so very much, they were not faithful to him. The prophet Hosea lamented Israel and Judah's faithfulness, or kind of faithfulness. For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Hosea 6, verse 4. You know, their faithfulness was fleeting, like the morning cloud and morning dew. They appear for a while, and then disappear. You know, may our faithfulness not be like Israel's. As young people, I think there are many, many things in this world that distracts us and draws us away from God. And when we are drawn away, we will end up not being faithful to God. So let us learn. Learn to be truly faithful to the Lord, His Word, and His people. One great example is Moses. He was truly faithful to the Lord. In Numbers 12, verse 7, God said, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." And God was speaking about how he would speak to a prophet in dreams and visions, but not so with Moses. God would speak to him face to face, because Moses was an outstanding servant of God, a faithful servant of God, a man of God, and a man of prayer. And he was faithful to God all the way. So let's be challenged to be faithful to God each day, to love Him and to keep His commandments. Let us be faithful in coming to church, to listen to His Word and to serve Him. And this is something that we want to pray about, that we will stay on course in following Him and not depart. Let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we recognize that as young people, we can be easily drawn to the ways of the world and we can drift away from following You. We pray that You will help us not to be like the people of Israel, whose faithfulness was like the morning dew and it disappeared very quickly. We pray that You will help us to follow Moses' example, to always be faithful, to stay the course of following You, to love You, to love Your words, and to serve You in Your church. We pray that we would learn to be close to You and never depart, to always be faithful no matter what. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, thank you for a little bit. I need to wipe it dry. This is like Genesis 49 combined with Deuteronomy 33, right? There's one part and there's a second part. So I'm doing the second part. Because I'm going to place my Bible there. See, I do this at home every day. That's why, but I have to dry it, so otherwise you get a lot of problems. Okay, now we're going to take a look at this particular text very carefully today. And this is a very famous text that is worthwhile memorizing. But the question is, how do we understand this particular text in the light of Genesis 49? But we're going to ask the Lord for wisdom once again. Our Father, we pray that You will give us wisdom that we need to know how to pray. We pray that the language of prayer is something we will seek to understand. Help us to develop and cultivate a proper, correct theology of prayer. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now let's look at very carefully the Genesis 49. Right? And in Genesis 49, we have a very brief mention. Okay? And so we read. So we have different mention of people. There's Issachar there, in no particular order. There's Dan there. Then there is Gad there. And it's suddenly one short line. Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield your royal dainties. That's it. What on earth is that? Right? So when you read a text like this, you are asking, what is he talking about? Just a brief prayer. So what is this really? What kind of prayer do we understand it to be? How do we even interpret a prayer like this? Right? So I'm going to share with you that in no matter the language, see, in both are in the Hebrew and in the Greek text, very often prayer is written with the idea almost like a command. It's almost like an imperative. Right? In fact, in the Greek text, very often it is found in the imperative. Not all the time, but most of the time, meaning to say, it's a very strongly worded, so we ask the Lord, but it is not a command. Neither is it a certainty. Right? Now watch this. Very often we don't understand it. Now, Jacob's prayer, Moses' prayer, how long they exist between the two? Do you know? Roughly how many years apart? Guess. 50 years? 100 years? Nearly 400 years apart. To be more exact, about 370. Now, when Jacob prayed for Asher, Asher, one small family. Moses' time, tribe. Right? See the difference? So what was said about Asher at that point of time? Question, how much does it apply in Moses' time? Obviously, we are looking at two different contexts entirely. One, a small family. Two, their family had become different. You cannot pray the same prayer. So how do we call this? So I classify this, this is very important, and this I call a glimmer of hope. So I want to cast prayer in the light of what we call hope. We call this a theology of hope. In other words, I am praying that it may be possible. Right? Now you have a glimmer. You know what a glimmer is? Those of you who maybe, those of you who are very good in English, you know what a glimmer is. A glimmer is not a, you know, big broad lights, obviously. Right? It's not sunlight. For that matter, it's not even moonlight. Right? A glimmer is just, sometimes you can catch it, sometimes you don't. Right? So just a little scintillating idea. That's it. And you know what? Hey, I missed it. That's what it is. Does he offer anything for Asher to hope on? No. You're going to be able to have dainty things to eat, that's it. What is that? I hope you understand what I mean by dainty things to eat. Right? Now, I have not had any dainty things to eat for the last 2 months. Everything I have is completely boiled to death. Now, in the Taco Bell's over in the US, they got this thing called Taco Bell's, and they sell Mexican food, which I don't care for. And suddenly, there is an outbreak called cyclosporiasis. Now, interesting word, because cyclosporia is the very stuff. So I'm taking a medicine called cyclosporin. Now, it's interesting to see, because this one causes explosive things in the stomach. And so suddenly, literally, tons of lettuce, fresh lettuce, withdrawn, cannot partake of it. Did you take Taco Bell there? With the U.S.? Just once. You were spared it. You know what it is. But, you know, it's a very popular thing. But as you take a look at it very carefully, and you begin to realize to your horror, what is that? It's nothing very much. A glimmer is only a glimmer. But it offers some idea of hope. Maybe in the future you will eat something nice, something dainty. A dainty will tell you you can't afford it unless you eat, unless you can afford it. Otherwise, it's just going to be very common food. And the Jewish people eat very simple food. Right? They don't not used to having, but there is a glimmer of hope that they will have. But what's a glimmer? If I'm going to pray based on a glimmer of hope, how far can I go? I mean, you all have a glimmer. I will study very hard. I'll pass my exams. I'll get a job. One day, good job. That's called a glimmer of hope. Are you certain? No. You try to apply for a job today, and to your horror, it's horrifying. And you know, it's only a glimmer of hope. Right? So what do we need to build up on? So we go on to the Deuteronomy 33 text. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 33 now. Okay? And you won't know until. So you cannot just build on a glimmer. But that's all Jacob offered, a glimmer of hope that one day Asher will be successful and can eat dainty things. If that is your goal, if that is what you think that the best thing in life is to eat dainty things, right? I have not taken lettuce or anything fresh for the last 2.5 months. You know, I was told forbidden. You cannot eat any of those things, dainty things, sashimi, cannot touch anymore for the rest of my life. That's it. So there are lots of things that I need to learn. There's a glimmer of hope that we, what is that? Physical glimmer of hope is all we can best offer? Not really. So what's the best thing to do? All right, so now we have this very carefully stated, okay? Now this is where, and of Asher he said, now that's interesting. He brought Asher towards the end. Right, so it's a bit of mix up now. Right, so again here in Deuteronomy 49, all the tribes are also mixed up. So now we have Asher as the last of the lot. And he says, and of Asher he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Right? And so he declared Asher most blessed of sons. Are the rest not blessed? Of course they are. They've all been given, each one, a special blessing. Now, I call this a glow of hope. Because you cannot build on a glimmer. Not much. But you can build the glimmer into a glow. You understand what I mean by a glow? One stick, you may have a glimmer. 10 sticks, you can have a glow. And this is what hope should be built on. You cannot build on just one verse. Right? So he expands it. Now remember this. Deuteronomy 33 must always be read in the background of Deuteronomy 32. And Deuteronomy 32 is a terribly dismal picture of Israel. A really bad picture of Israel because it was portrayed as a nation that had been rebellious, that had rejected God, that had been all the time complaining against the Lord. This is their background. You need a lot of hope to pray at all. Right? We often think, I'm hopeless. Sometimes you feel hopeless. Sometimes you feel overwhelmed. Sometimes you think there's no future. Sometimes you really wonder anybody will employ you. Right? Don't work on the glimmer. Build a glow of hope. Right? So based on what? Now, this is very important. Now, Asher is most blessed. This is what... Look in this most blessed. Now, wait a minute. They are not in the land yet. So this represents what we call potential. What you can become, you don't know. You really don't know. Right? So don't build too much upon your own glimmer, on your own glow. Watch what most blessed God. All right. Okay, now, where is the blessing? Watch this very carefully. Okay? And the prayer is wonderful to the blood. Let him be favored by his brothers. Now, this is important. Right? This is important. Each one has his own area of work, but you know, if you have family, and this is wonderful, and you have brothers who are there to support you. Now, I'll tell you something about these brothers. They're not very close to each other. Right? They are really not close to each other. They gang up against each other. So Levi and Simeon because they are real brothers. The rest are sort of half-brothers. Remember, they all mixed up. They're pretty mixed up. One father, but many half-brothers. They're very sticky to each other. But those who are outside, not really. But this one is quite different. Let him be is actually an imperative idea. It does not mean it will happen. But the idea of hope is there. He will somehow be favored by the brothers. Now, that must be wonderful. Now, think about this. What does it really mean to be favored by the brothers? Now, that is a blessing. You build on that. Right? Because he has support from all the brothers, a lot of things can happen. Now, this one is, let him dip his foot in oil. We call it spa today. Right? When do you dip your foot in oil? You don't. Right? Unless you come from a rich family. Then you can have servants to go and dip your foot in oil. Right? Otherwise, you won't. See the glow of it all? Right? So we're adding on. How do you build a glow of hope? When you have a family support. When you have others, and then you begin to realize the blessing of it all. Right? And then we go on further about what it means to be most blessed. But here is a cautionary note. Right? How do you get there? Right? So we think about it, first and foremost, we talk about a glimmer. Then we talk about what it means to have a glow of hope. Now, here is the third one. Now, there's a fourth. The third one has to do with goals. Can we pray? I mean, you're trying to apply to... Can you pray for goals? Can you pray that you would have a job? Can you pray that God will help you with whatever you need? Answer, yes. They're goals. But remember, those goals are not achieved by prayer alone. So don't make too much out of prayer. Don't discount it, but don't overinflate it either. Right? That's why this famous phrase, your sandals shall be iron and bronze. I hope you understand what it means to wear iron and bronze thing here. Anyway, she's very careful about about the patients. And I am a very, very happy patient to be there. You know, and I don't look forward to many things. Nobody looks forward to going to hospital except this one. Right? But they're very particular. So they will tell you, so my first day there was literally 16 days instead of 8 days. That was a long time. And so they tell me, you must be careful of the slippers. Don't wear those. If you go on a hotel and then they give you a pair of slippers, don't wear them. To my horror, that was the only one I brought. They said they will tell you why. Because you can trip and you can fall. And you are extremely careful about an older person. And I forgot to bring my sandals of iron and bronze. What does that mean? You think they're comfortable? No, they're not. Now, this idea of having sandals of bronze and iron, actually, the Romans picked it up. The Roman soldiers were very famous for their fast march, right? So when Julius Caesar leads, particularly the one who leads best was actually Augustus Caesar. So when he wants to march his army against an enemy, so they will always ask them, how long does it take to reach the enemy? And they will tell him, 1 month. Now he will tell the people, we'll do it in 2 weeks. And he will force march the people until they cover the ground in 2 weeks. So when they finally find the enemy, they were totally unprepared. So fast arrival of the enemy. That's how he won many of his battles. So what kind of sandals do they wear? If they wore normal sandals, they won't succeed. They had to wear special sandals. You know how they wore them? Of course, they have their own shoes. But the enemies were very knew that they marched on their feet a lot. You know what they did? They throw thorns and iron things onto the ground. You wear anything ordinary, you're pierced through your leg, you can't walk. So the Roman emperors began to realize what the enemies were doing. And the only way to walk through them safely was to literally put on iron shoes. But this idea of having iron, bronze and iron shoes were not Romans. They were gods. God's idea was, listen, you better understand what it means to actually go into battle. Right? In other words, all this nice, plenty food that you think you'd like to enjoy, they won't come without a price. The enemies will fight you, but your brothers will be there to help you. But you've got to do your part, and you have to wear iron, literally. So when I went in for surgery, this was the thought that came to my mind. Right? So one of our church members wrote to say, this particular word was shared with me. May this be yours. You will need to wear iron shoes and bronze ones. Iron and bronze shoes. Meaning to say, speedy recovery is not the answer. So if you're praying for me, how should you pray? Pray this prayer. That I may walk. No, I didn't expect I would go back to the hospital the second time to stay another day. I didn't expect that I would be out of action for a whole week. I didn't expect that I would have high blood pressure now, which I don't have in the past. I don't expect that I would have diabetes, which I never had too. Things have changed. Right? So is there going to be a speedy recovery? No. A speedy recovery is a glimmer of hope. Right? Maybe even a glow. But it's been 2.5 months. And I'm nowhere near full recovery. So what do I need to wear? I need to know what the obstacles are. I know where the problems are. And I need to pray about this. I need to wear iron bronze shoes. There will be problems. There will be obstacles. There will be difficulties. Can I walk through them? Yes. Right? Talking about walking, you know, when I was at NUH, they told me, we would like you to track your movements. I said, okay. Last week, the 365 sent me a notice. I won a badge. What badge means inside, you know, they'll tell you you won. Congratulations, you have walked 1.1 million steps. What? Really? What are 1.1 million steps? And they award you there? What does it mean? Nothing. This is what it means to walk. Have you ever tried thinking you walk 1 million steps? I just did it. Last week. Actually, I ate such veggies. Every week, they'll tell you something else. Right? But it means to walk. And I know I have to walk this path. The way to recovery is to walk. I can't do a lot of strenuous exercises now, right? So I'm told many things I cannot do because of the surgery. But what I can do is to walk. Hey, guess what? I'm going to walk. I just stared at it for a little while. What do you mean by that? This one is something by the bay kind of walk. 1.1 million. I didn't realize they give such rewards. Does it do anything for you? No. But think about this. But it's just a reminder to me. I can walk 1.1 million steps. Maybe that's one reason why I haven't put on any weight. I've lost 5 kg and I'm again nowhere close to getting back. Am I missing the weight? No. I would rather keep this weight now. But think about what it means here. Right? Now we go on further. And then we go above all. Okay? This is very important. As your days, so shall your strength be. So I asked the people there, who are among your very old senior people who go for transplant successfully? And they said, I'm one of those older ones. As your days, so your strength shall be. Does it mean that you will automatically be strong? No. That's why we need to go to the fourth point. And the fourth point is not here, it's not in Genesis, it's not in Deuteronomy, it's in Romans. Right? So I'm going to take you into the book of Romans now very quickly. Right? And now we come to the book of Romans chapter 15. And this is a wonderful text. David called God the God of his righteousness. God was called God of peace by Paul as well. Romans 15, 33. May the God of peace be with you all. Right? But there is one other title that Paul used that to me is really, really uplifting. He is called the God of hope. In Romans 15, 13. So remember, when you pray, it is not a given. It's not an imperative as if you can command God. Prayer is not everything, but it helps you to understand we can move from a glimmer to a glow to goals of hope to finally the God of hope. That's where prayer must lead us, back to God. Back to the God of hope who gives us hope. Now, there are four things to take note of in this Romans 15, 13, a text worth memorizing. Right? So let's begin here. First, now may the God of hope. So we can address God as a God of hope. The first thing that you want to pray for, that you pray for somebody, right? May God fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Have you ever prayed for that? See, this is how we pray a bit deeper. If we only pray for speedy recovery, or blessings, looking at all these things, things are wonderful, you're really missing the point. What should we pray for when we pray for people who are going through difficulties? That the Lord will give them all joy and peace in believing. Now, that is something that I pray for. Lord, I want to go through this period of time with joy and peace. Right? So even it's 2.5 months, every single day, joy, peace. Right? So that we can recall what the psalmist says in Psalm 34, 33, 34. I will sing praise to the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord while I have my being. I will be glad in the Lord. This is what he's talking about. Right? So when we pray for some people, pray for each other, what should we pray for? So I want to pray for you. Say, if I'm praying for you, what's my prayer for you? That you will be filled with joy and peace. I've seen a lot of unhappy, worried, anxious believers. All the time they're praying, Lord, give me, give me, give me, please help me. But they're filled with what? Anything but joy and peace. Nothing there. So what is the best thing to pray for? Please, please pray for this. That there may be that joy and peace in believing. Without that joy and peace in believing, what are you praying for? Right? The healing will not take place because you pray. It will take place when the body heals. How it heals, when it heals, we don't know. So many challenges, you don't know. Right? So we better pray along this line. First, second, okay? Now this is very important for us to take note. That you may abound in hope. Now this is very important. See, hope is there. It must not be just a glimmer. It must not be a glow. It must be more than goals. You must learn how to abound in hope. That's how you make it relevant, right? So from Jacob's prayer to Moses' prayer to Paul's prayer, Then we see this. That's what we want to do. There is abounding in hope. Right? We have everybody to think that, oh, you're well now. Congratulations, you're well now. No, I'm not. Physically, I look as well as I can get. Right? Except a bit slimmer. Yeah, a lot slimmer. Right? Does it mean I'm well? I wish. It's not. But what do I abound in? Hope. Right? I will abound in hope. This is a prayer to make. So that when we look at Moses' prayer for Asher, now we've got to go back to Deuteronomy again in order to complete this. Right? So we want to have the God of hope. Moses called him the God of Jeshurun. Right? Now, most blessed, that's his name, Asher. Blessed, most blessed. Right? And God has a nickname for him. He calls him Jeshurun. It's like the word I call my little boy at home. I call him my little darling. So I call him every day, and he comes to me, and you know, he learns how to adjust, and he learns how to, okay, I know you need your time, so I won't come and disturb you, but he will come to me one morning, afternoon, at night, and he will just be there, and then the rest of the time, he will try to be on his own. But yeah, I understand that. And so we have a wonderful relationship. Right? Now, this is important for us to take note of. What are we looking at? Right? Abound in hope. The doctors were very concerned. He said, can you put your dog away? I said, no. Can you get somebody else to look after the dog for 3 months, 4 months? No. What if the dog scratches you? I said, won't. How do you know? Won't. I will teach my dog to learn how to do something different. Can? Yes. You sure? Yes. So he learned something different. And I love him even more because he seems to understand. Right? But of course, he still tries to get his way. And so I have to be a little bit firm with him at times. But, you know, otherwise it's fine. Not a problem. Right? So we need to understand how this actually works. Abounding in hope part of it. Okay. Now, when we pray in hope, now there is an invisible work that is being done. Remember, part of this has to be, the last part of it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we pray for something, when we pray and ask the Lord to help, there is a power of God at work, and that person who works in us is none other than the Holy Spirit. He's working in you as you believe. He's granting watch. You want to see whether you are full of joy and peace? Then you know the Holy Spirit is working inside you. And this is very important. Right? So I determined to share that joy and peace and everywhere to all the patients who are there I meet along the way, or with all the nursing staff that is there, with all the doctors who are there. You know, I just want to just express how grateful I am, just to share that bit of joy and peace and hope. Why not? Right? This is very important for us to express ourselves. And there is a power of God at work as we pray. We just don't realize it. Right? So we move from glimmer. Will you find a power there? No. Is there a glow there? You've got to build it up. Right? But it will take the Apostle Paul to express this in his fullness. Right? So what is this God that we are talking about? Now we go back to Deuteronomy 33. Let's take a look very carefully. And you will see this quite clearly. Right? So how does it work? How can there be that strength as your days may be? Wow, that's amazing promise. As your days, so shall your strength be. That is wonderful. Can I be? So my people ask me how old I am. And I state my number. And they say, you can't be 76. And why not? We are too young to be. How old are you now? Too young to be. I'm not. But what am I looking at as my strength, as my days? The Lord's promise, so your strength be. This is my hope. that as the Lord grants grace and strength, I will find that strength. Right? Now, watch how this actually works out. This is the God of hope. This is the God of Jeshurun. This is a God who can bless. And so the word was, okay, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. He rides the heavens to help you. This is Psalm 18. Very much. God will come personally to help you from heaven. And His excellency on the clouds. If you want to stand and see the clouds, you will see the excellence of God's power and glory coming to our assistance. Right? So there are lots of things to think about. That then, verse 27, there is the God of hope. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And He will thrust out the enemy before you. You don't have to be worried about. The enemies will be there. They will plant thorns along the way. You wear shoes. Your part, you wear shoes. Made of iron and bronze. But will you win? Yes. Not because you are great, but because God says so. He will destroy the enemies. That's it. Right? So when we think in terms of what it means to have underneath are the everlasting arms, then we recognize that we must move from a glimmer of hope to a glow of hope to goals of hope to finally the God of hope. That's how we learn how to pray. Right? So when we learn how to pray, sometimes we look at, sometimes we try to build a hope. I have a glimmer of hope. So you apply for the job, it doesn't come. Wait a minute. What are you building on? A glimmer. You need to build further, glow first, right? And as you look at it, you begin to realize, what am I working on? I need to look at what my goals are, and beyond my goals, I need to look at the God of hope. Then you are learning to pray aright. You understand? Right? So, by all means, does God hear speedy recovery? Yes. He just doesn't answer. So everybody's praying for a speedy recovery. So if I base it upon your prayer hope, I will still be stuck. So no, thank you very much for saying that. But it's not going to work that way. So I would rather find a glimmer, a glow, goals, and finally the God of hope. Romans 15:13, to complete the whole lot. Then I understand prayer a little bit better. Right? So this is something to ponder over and encourage all of us to pray very much more. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures, for what they reveal to us, to give to us, firstly, a glimmer of hope, that there is at least some hope, and to build on that until it becomes a glow of hope. Teach us, Lord, how to be unafraid of whole goals that may seem very hard. Help us to turn to you as the God of hope and of peace and of joy and of power. Pray that you would teach us how to pray a little bit better. Strengthen, refresh us, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, here I'm going to say goodbye from here. It's a big virtual hug for everybody. That's all I can give. Can't be close to you in any way. Doesn't mean I'm not close to you in heart, just different. Okay, have a wonderful weekend tomorrow. And I'll be back in church to talk about the book of Numbers 13 and 14 once again to follow the idea of Caleb's faith and the Lord's blessings to all. Okay, thank you for being here. I'm so glad to be able to be here. Glad there's no mishap today, but I have to leave immediately. Okay, I'll see you. All right, thank you. Bye.